Welcome to the teachings of the Renew Community. We are a family of Jesus followers seeking to be formed into the image of Christ and to join God in the renewal of all things. We meet together weekly in large gatherings and in house churches throughout Bucks and Montgomery counties. If you'd like more information on the Renew Community, feel free to check us out at www.renewcommunity.org.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm so glad you are here. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus. And that means a lot, more than we can sing about or talk about tonight. But we're here tonight because we want to see him. And we want to hear from him. And we want to worship him. So Jesus, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and our minds today. That you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what it is that you want to speak to us. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. How do you express the unbelievable? How do you communicate the incredible? How do you describe the amazing? This is what a dear friend of mine asked a few weeks ago in reference to this Christmas story. How many of you have heard this Christmas story before? Wager to guess, pretty much everybody here has heard it at least once. But my hope is that it never gets old, because there is beauty in this story. There is unbelievableness in this story. There is amazement in this story. And so hopefully we can pause long enough in the midst of this season to hear it afresh. And tonight I want to enlist the help of some storybook writers and songwriters and some prophets and some apostles to help us to see the unbelievable, to believe the unbelievable, to see how amazing it is that a God would leave heaven to come and find us, to be with us. One of my favorite Christmas hymns, we actually sang it earlier, is O Holy Night. O Holy Night is one of my favorites. I feel like it changes all the time, but that's one that's been a favorite for a long time. And so I want to just kind of use some of those lyrics tonight to guide us through a little bit of this Christmas story, along with another classic that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. But O Holy Night begins, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. So that's why we're here. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. And we've been talking about contrasts. And so we have this beautiful artwork back here that we all participated in together over the weeks of Advent, looking at the contrasts of what the world wants us to believe or wants us to feel and what Jesus offers to us. And there's a sharp contrast in this song, the night of our dear Savior's birth, and then there's this really dark line. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. There's another song that gets a lot of radio play around this time. And a week or so ago, I was listening to it, and these lyrics jumped out at me. I was like, I don't even remember hearing these lyrics before. But this is how this songwriter describes this world laying in sin and error pining. Your soul is full of gunk, an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. And your mind may be drawn to a certain green character, but if you think for a minute about those words and what they describe, that's the state of the world. In Genesis 6, it says that's the state of the world, and God looked at the wickedness and the violence that was in the world, that was in humanity's heart, and it broke God's heart. That's how dark the situation was. But God doesn't give up easily. It was not always this way, and it wasn't meant to be this way. Scripture begins in Genesis 1, and the refrain of creation is, "It is good. It is good. It is very good." And God creates us. He says, "Let us create humanity in our image and in our likeness." And so in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them in his image. And he says, "It is very good." And humanity lived in this beautiful picture of joy and love and peace with God and with one another and with creation until they listened to a voice that was not God's and chose a different path. And sin entered the world, and distrust of God entered the world, and mistrust of one another entered the world, and down this spiral goes, a mangled up, tangled up knots. But God doesn't give up. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining till he appears. Till he appears. And this is the most important question of this season. Who is he? Who is he that appears? He is the one who stands in sharp contrast to that picture we just heard. He is the one whose soul is full of goodness. A radiant, glorious fountain overflowing with the most gracious assortment of wonderful love, joy, and peace imaginable. Fully free and abounding in steadfast love and abundant life. He is the one we're here to magnify tonight. He's the one we're here to encounter tonight. And so I want to call upon some readers to hear a little bit about how the apostles and the prophets describe this one whose birth we celebrate tonight. Hopefully they can see. I'm going to bring a light as well as a mic. This is from Luke 1, 30 to 35.
The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God."
Did you hear that? He is Jesus. He is the Son of the Most High. He is great. He's the Holy One. He is the Son of God. This is the one who we're talking about. We're going to turn ahead to Luke 2 and hear from Caleb here. You want the light?
There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests."
Who is he who appeared? He is good news. He is great joy. He is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Good news, great joy. And now the Apostle John, and Becky's going to read to us.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Who is he? He's the Word through whom everything was made. He is God. He is full of grace and truth. And now the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews about who this one is.
The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven.
Who is he? He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. That's who we're here to see tonight. And now the prophet Isaiah, speaking hundreds of years before he was born.
For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Who is he? Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father. That is who appeared. That is who appeared. Can you imagine him living in heaven in the radiance of glory and saying, "I'm going down there into this mess of mangled up, tangled up knots." And he appeared. And the soul felt its worth. Because you might feel like a mangled up, tangled up knot, but then somebody says, "No, that's not who you are. That's not who you were meant to be." He appeared and the soul felt its worth. And this is the worth that scripture tells us. This is perhaps the most popular verse in the Bible. There's a reason why it's so popular, from John 3, 16 and 17.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Deserving of condemnation, and Jesus says, "No, I'm coming." Because that's not your soul. Your soul is loved. Your soul is loved, and so here I come. The soul feels its worth, and the writers describe the worth that Jesus ascribes to us because of his worthiness. In Colossians 1, it says, we are rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of this beloved Son, of God's beloved Son. And we are reconciled to God through Christ. We're not deplorable, we're holy, unblemished, and blameless in his presence because Christ has deemed us worthy and gives us his worth. And Peter says it this way, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're chosen, you're holy, you are royalty, God's people. Our soul can only ever know its true worth in relation to him. Because in him, all the tangled up knots of sin are forgiven. In him, all the mangled pieces of our soul, the ways we've been sinned against, abused, or used, the mangled up pieces of our soul find healing in him. In him, we find our worth. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. And the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Zechariah says it this way, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, the dayspring from on high visits us to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the path of peace. And John writes it this way, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. To all who receive him, to those who trust in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Out of his fullness, out of Jesus' fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. So friends, where does Jesus need to shine his light in your life? Is there despair or anxiety in your soul that Jesus needs to shine the light and bring his hope and his peace? Is there some sorrow that casts a cloud of darkness that Jesus wants to light up with the joy of his presence? Is there anger, hatred in your soul that Jesus wants to come and light up with his love and transform you as your soul feels its worth in him? And friends, where is Jesus sending you with this light, with the good news of who he is and what he does for us? I invite our worship team back up to close out our time together in this sacred night, this holy night of remembering who he is and who we are because of him. In this Christmas season, I hope you all are able to pause long enough for your soul to feel its worth to him. I hope you are able to pause long enough to see the worth of all those around you to him. And most of all, I hope you are able to pause long enough for your soul to rejoice in the inestimable worth of Jesus, the King, who was born, who appeared to show us the radiance of God's glory, his tender mercy. I hope you are able to pause long enough to see him. Amen.